Hey kids, tonight I want to tell you a story. Is that okay? Well, it's what I planned to do anyway. Okay? I want to tell you a story about a young boy and a young girl, brother and sister. And these guys were excited because it was Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. One more sleep. Well, they're hoping so, if they can. And it'll be Christmas. They're so excited. A day that they'd hoped would bring some happiness and some joy and some laughter. A day they'd hoped would bring some good, because they'd had a pretty tough year, these two and their whole family. So they were really looking forward to this day. A few weeks earlier, they'd put up a tree, and when I say a tree, it was more some branches that they'd found around the house and out the backyard, and they'd sort of stuck them together and put them in a bucket and put it in their lounge room, and they'd made some decorations and they put those on the tree just so it didn't look so dry and bare. But no tinsel, no lights, but it was the best they could do. It was the best they could do to be ready, to be prepared, because they were hoping that Christmas morning there might be some presents under this tree that they've made. They were so excited. But that night they tossed and turned and they turned and tossed. And when they were about to go to sleep, some little noise in the house woke them up. And they just could not fall asleep. But at some point, late that night, they drifted off to sleep. A few hours later, sunrise. Only just, but just enough. Christmas morning, and the brother jumped out of the bed and he ran into his sister's room and woke her up and got her as well, and they ran into the lounge room and they went in to have a look what was under this tree. And they stopped. They rubbed their eyes and looked again, and all they could see was one present. One present. One, the boy said. Where's the rest of them? Just one. And they looked around the room and they thought, oh, maybe it's hiding somewhere else. And, you know, they looked in the cupboard. No, nothing. One present. And they glanced back down at the gift, and on the gift there was a note which said, there are so many things I could give you both, but this is the one gift I know you need most. There are so many things I could give you both, but this is the one gift I know you need most. The two of them were so confused. I thought, what is this and who's it from? They were intrigued by the note, but they were also intrigued by what was wrapped around the parcel. You know, it was covered with their local newspaper, from what they could tell. It was, you know, there were headlines and articles and advertising and editorials, all those sort of things. The gift was surrounded by negative news and political news and oppressive news. All these sort of things. They were confused. You know, the layers communicated messages of all the different things, you know, of people trying to sell things and the things that have little lasting value. Where's the colour? Where's the colour and where's the tinsel? The girl thought. Perhaps it's buried underneath. Perhaps it's inside. That's what she was hoping, that maybe something good was actually inside this. The boy was hoping the same thing. There's got to be something good in there. They kept telling themselves. So the boy, he started taking off all of this, all the bad stuff that was surrounding this. And he was being careful while he was doing it, not to let all these messages of what the world was trying to tell him and those sort of things, he was trying not to let that affect him. And he peeled it away, and they both looked at it and thought, Well, that's pretty boring. That's very unimpressive, they thought. What is this? It's a dusty, brown, dirty-looking container. What is this gift? They kneeled down before the gift to have a closer look at it. But they couldn't tell what it was. There was nothing really spectacular about it. It just seemed so simple and unattractive. The girl was puzzled. I still can't work out what it is. I can't tell what it is by how it looks. I can't tell what it is by how it feels. I can't tell what it is by how it smells. Let me have a look, the boy said. I reckon I can tell by how it sounds. And so he took it and he dropped it. Oh, great. Thanks a lot, she said. Look what you've done. Now you've broken it. It wasn't my fault, the boy said. That's what you always say. Give it here, the boy said. Oh no, he groaned. I think it is broken. I think it's ruined. This poor boy and poor girl. They were so looking forward to getting something special. The one package which seemed so important, it was this single gift which, according to the note, was the thing that they needed most. But now it was broken and it was ruined. So the boy put it down and he was about to get up and move away, feeling guilty for what had just happened and feeling disheartened. And the sister whispered to him, "Stop. Maybe we should just see. Maybe we should take the time and see what is actually in there." "But it's broken," the boy said. "Maybe. But if it is broken, at least we'll know. But unless we take the time to look, then we'll never know." So she lifted the lid. And inside the box, surrounded by straw, simple packing straw, was a beautiful crimson heart. It was something that was precious. It was something that was lovely. It was something that was delicate. It was amazing. It was perfect. A smile came across the boy's face and tears started to run down the girl's cheek. Their disappointment and despair was replaced with a joy, a peace, a hope, love. You see, they knew exactly where this gift had come from. It was from their father. He was an incredible artist. They'd seen his handiwork before. He designed and created magnificent pieces of art all over the world. But they hadn't seen or heard from him for a while. And they weren't actually sure whether they'd ever see him again. Sure, they'd seen things that were beautiful that he'd made before, but they'd never seen anything like this. This was a one of a kind. This was amazing. It was unique and it was flawless. And here the two kids were, kneeling before this gift, looking at it. What they thought was broken, useless, and of no worth was actually a renewed symbol of love from the one who gave them this gift. And in getting this gift from their father, they knew that he hadn't forgotten them. They knew he loved them dearly, and they knew that even if things got out of hand, even if things, you know, were broken around them, his love was so strong it would overcome their disappointment, their guilt, their sadness. There are so many things I could give you both, but this is the one gift I know you need most. Their father was right. It was what they needed. And as the sun's light burst into the room that morning, Christmas Day began to look a whole lot brighter. You know, regardless of our age, whether we're young or whether we're older. We're all like these two kids that we love to receive gifts. You know, we can come to a time like Christmas and we hope for certain things. You know, sometimes it's toys and sometimes it's games and other stuff. But deep inside, God's placed in us, deep inside, a yearning and a longing for His gift. We want to experience joy and hope and peace and love. But let's be honest, sometimes it's hard to know and remember that incredible gift is available to us. The gift of God's love. It's hard to know that the gift is there for each of us. Each of us. And especially when we're surrounded with maybe bad news, the worst possible news, or when our lives appear mundane and ordinary. And we saw on the footage before from Luke chapter 2 with the shepherds. You know, Luke records what happened that night near Bethlehem, and he writes that there were these shepherds who were living out in the fields. Bethlehem was a small village. It was a small village, but for these shepherds, it seemed like that was still a center of activity. That was still where things happened. You know, it was where travelers would pass through. It was where trade would take place. It was where people related to each other, where people had some sort of status, albeit maybe small. But these shepherds were out in the fields, away from the spotlight. Business as usual for them, mundane and ordinary. Their everyday life was their workplace. Parents, adults, you know what I'm talking about, where work easily became their world. And at home, it often seemed like another place of work. Trying to keep things together, but not really living with joy or hope, feeling often isolated and disconnected from other people. For these shepherds, there was nothing really significant about them in their eyes. In God's eyes, a different story altogether. Luke writes that they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. Things kept them up at night. There were things that kept these guys up at night. Things they were responsible for, things they were trying to protect. Mouths to feed, taxes to pay. We're really no different from them. What was their reality is often ours much of the time. And there are days, weeks, maybe even years when our lives seem to have nothing good come our way. When dreams are shattered, when plans have fallen to pieces, broken promises, broken families, broken hearts. I want you to know this Christmas that there is and always has been an amazing gift for you guys. And it is Jesus Christ. And this is what the Christmas story actually invites us to enter into, that on that night in Bethlehem, God sent His gift. But the story of Christmas isn't one that has an ending. Christmas is an invitation. It's an invitation to kneel before God's gift, Jesus, to look upon Him and acknowledge Him as the one and only way that God could possibly reconnect with us. And Christmas is actually an invitation for us to allow God to continue to write His story in our lives. To firstly be open to the move of His hand and help us turn over a new leaf. Secondly, to be open to new chapters that He wants to write in our lives.